Good morning. It's good to be here today with y'all. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you love us and because you give us these moments so we can come together and read your word and think about you and think about what you would have us do and how you would have us live. So God, I pray that as we sing to you and as we talk to you and we pray, that as we read your word and we hear your voice and the words that you inspired, that you would help us to listen reverently. You'd help us to meditate on what we read, and that you would speak to us through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever notice how, like especially around church environments and when there's religion being discussed, how the topic of blessing comes up a lot. We can tell in the way that the words that we say that we want to be blessed. If I say pray for me, I'm normally asking that you'd pray that God would bless me, right? We say hello, how are you? And that, and sometimes we see it in our conversation is how are you doing? I'm blessed. How we say goodbye, we say God bless you. It's a formal way of just, you know, saying or expressing our desire for I want to be blessed and I know you want to be blessed, so I'm gonna wish you a desire God to bless you. And some religious circles, people will come to, you know, the religious person for a blessing. We want to be blessed by God. And so we stop and think about it. We have to ask ourselves, what does that actually mean? What does it mean for God to bless me? What am I saying when I say, God bless you? Is it just a Christian way of saying goodbye, have a good day? What do we want when we say pray that God would bless me? What are we expecting? Am I asking for a new car or do I want to feel good today? What is a blessing? What is that? And what would it look like if God actually responded to our expressed desires and our prayers and we were blessed? How do we know I am blessed? What would that be for? And what would that look like? And flip over to Genesis chapter 12, because we have a story today that, as we have over the past few weeks, we have a story today. And today's story is going to help us understand what a blessing is and what it means to be blessed by God and what it looks like when God comes to you and blesses you, and also what it would look like for us to be sources or fountains of God's blessing for other people around us, so that when we say God bless you, it's actually something that God could do through us, and we could actually fulfill that desire that we have when we say that to other people. The story today is the story of Abraham. He comes through to us through Noah and then through Shem, Noah's son, and finally we get to Abraham. And the notable thing about Abraham, there's a few things, and actually I think we're going to take a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and look at different parts of Abraham's life. But the big thing, the overriding thread that goes through Abraham's life when we look at his story is this idea of blessing. The most incredible thing about Abraham, if you had to pick one thing, even more than the son that was born in his old age, although that's incredible, that we might talk about that next week, but was that God chose him and chose him to bless him. God came to him and said, I'm going to bless you. That's an incredible thing. No one had to say, God bless you. And if someone would have said that, Abraham could have said, yes, I know. You saw, he told me he was going to bless me. It's an incredible thing. And God told Abraham, not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make you a source of blessing. People are going to be blessed through you. You're going to be blessed, and you're going to be a blessing to other people. It's an incredible thing what happened to Abraham. So look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. We'll go through 1 through 4 here. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whom who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That's his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, when he went out, as God told him to. You see what God said to him? He said, I'm going to bless you. He says it right there. It's not something we have to infer. Came to him and said, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to lead you somewhere. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you famous. People will know you. Remember last week in the Tower of Babel? What did they want? They wanted to be known. They were building this tower so people would know them. They were making a name for themselves. God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you famous. You're going to be known. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour my blessing out over you. And not just that, but woven in with that is, and you will be a blessing to other people. I'll bless you. And doesn't it say in verse 2? Or is it verse 3? In verse 2, so that, it's like, that's the reason why, so that you will be a blessing. And then in verse 3, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm going to bless everyone through you. That's an incredible promise. And you had to wonder if Abraham was, when God told him this, if he was scratching his head going, wow, okay, that's cool. I don't have to pray, you know, that God will bless me anymore. He said he's going to. So prayer answered. All the families of the earth, like everybody ever lived through all time, he must be exaggerating for effect. There's no way that everybody blessed through me. That doesn't make sense. Look over at Genesis 17. Like I said, this is a theme that's woven through Abraham's life. There's even one we won't read, but it's throughout his life. God came to him and told him this time and time again. Look at verse, I think we're going to go through 1 through, yeah, we'll go through 1 through 9, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, God appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings will come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. So you see, he's weaving the same things through this. Again, he's talking to Abraham, and this is future. He's saying, I'm going to bless you. He came to him after the first time, and he's saying, I'm going to bless you. How am I going to bless you? Well, you're going to have a ton of, not just children, but offspring. You're going to be the father of nations. Kings will come from you. You're going to, and at this time, Abraham didn't have any children. So remember, keep that in mind. He hadn't had his son yet. So God's promising future blessing is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to answer that prayer. God bless me. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of many. Kings will come out of you. You're going to have your own land. All the land that you're traveling through, you're going to get that. That your children and their children and children's children and on down the line, they're going to live there. They're going to be a nation so big they can populate all this area that you've been traveling through. It's incredible. And you obey me, and I will bless you. Flip over to Genesis chapter 22. This is after another incredible story. This is after Abraham, God comes to Abraham and tests him by saying, sacrifice your son to me. And Abraham, well, he obeys. That's another story. We might look at that in January. We'll come back to that. But at the end of that story, look at verse 15, Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. Now listen, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. See, he's saying the same blessing. He's saying the same thing. He repeats it over and over to him. And now he has a son. So he says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you, and you're going to be a great nation. Your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring, and here comes the you will be a source of blessing part of this. In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. God comes to him again and says, I'm going to bless you. I am blessing you. I'm going to continue to bless you, and I'm going to bless you greatly, more than you could ever imagine. That's a paraphrase, but that's what God's saying. And you're going to be a source of blessing. You're going to be a fountain of blessing to everyone in all times and all places. And that is an incredible promise that God gives Abraham. And in that, we learn what blessing is. We learn what it means when we kind of sometimes, not always, but sometimes flippantly say, you know, I need a blessing. God bless you. How are you? I'm blessed. Blessings. Well, what is blessing? What is that? Well, we've seen it in these three passages. This answers our questions. How do we receive a blessing from God? God bless you. Well, how would God bless you? How does God bless us? It starts by God coming to us. God comes to us. When God blesses us, he comes to us. It's God who does it. God, look at Abraham's story. God chooses him, and he initiates, and he moves through time and space to Abraham. He comes to Abraham. He tells him he's going to bless him multiple times. That removes like the kind of magic genie in a bottle component that sometimes we associate with God blessing us. If I do the right things, okay, I need God to help me with this. My blessing is going to be God helping me with my job. So I don't have a job, and I'm going through an interview, and if God helps me with this job, okay, so I'm going to go to church. I haven't been going to church for a while, but if I go to church like maybe three times, four times, we'll call it like a big month. I'll go five times to church. And then you're going to bless me, right? If I do the right things, if I don't do the bad stuff that I shouldn't do, if I'm nice to my wife, you know, during those 5 weeks, and then you'll bless me. Whatever the arrangement is, there's like a magic genie in a bottle thing. Of course God won't bless me because I've been bad this week. But maybe next week, if I'm good, God will bless me. This story takes the magic part out of it. That's not how blessing works. God is the king of the universe. He rules and reigns over all. He works all things together for his purposes. That's Ephesians 1:11. He's sovereign. Blessing starts when God blesses us. It starts with God coming to us, with God blessing. That's how God blesses. So then what is God's blessing? What does it look like? What does it look and feel like for God to bless you? And I say, God bless you. What is that really? What is that? Is that getting? I asked my son last night, was looking over my shoulder when I was writing some stuff, and he said, blessing. That'd be like a lot of Legos. You can guess ages from that comment, probably. They have a lot of Legos, so I guess he's incredibly blessed. Maybe not as blessed as he wants to be. I don't know. Christmas is coming. So I think that might have been a hint. But okay, just change the Legos into whatever your idea of a blessing is. Well, I'm blessed when I have a good job, and when my wife is happy with me, and my kids are happy with me, and everybody's happy with me, and everything's good, and my parents, and everything is, and I'm not sick. That's a big one. I'm not sick, and I don't have any problems, and everything's going good, and I had a really good workout earlier today, and I work out in the afternoon, but you know what I'm saying. I had a good workout earlier, and everything is, I just feel good, and I'm smelling chicken, fried chicken from down the hall, and as soon as this sermon is over, I feel so blessed. I feel good. And then tomorrow I kind of wake up in a funk and I'm kind of tired and it's Monday and I'm not going to feel blessed tomorrow. Are you? Of course not. What is a blessing? Well, God comes to us and then God blesses. Look at what God said he would give Abraham. Yeah, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you the land of your enemies. But what was the real blessing woven in there? Himself. God blesses Abraham with himself. He comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to be the God of your children. You're going to have a relationship with me. I'm going to forgive you. You're going to be my special people. You're going to be the ones that you're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to be my people. I'm going to know you. You're going to know me. I'm going to adopt you into my family. I will be your God, and you can know me. That's a blessing with God. That's what true blessing is. That's what it really, really means. If you cut everything else away, when you get down to the actual center of what does it mean to be blessed by God? God bless you. What are we actually saying? Even if we don't think it in that moment, may you know God. May you have a relationship with God. May you be God's child. That's what it means to be blessed. That's what God was telling Abraham that he was going to bless him with, a relationship with himself. And so then you look at Abraham's story and you say, okay, so if that's what being blessed is, God comes to us, he blesses us with himself. What do we do when God blesses us? What do we do? What's our part in that whole thing? Again, go back to Abraham. We obey. What did Abraham do every step of the way? He obeyed God. God didn't come to him because he obeyed him, but because God came to him. His part, his response to a God who came to him and blessed him and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. He obeyed. He left his father and his kindred. Isn't that that's the word that my Bible used? And normally that would be an out-of-place word, but I've been watching the Beverly Hillbillies with my wife at night, so that's kindred is a pretty, you know, that's I understand that word right now. He left his family. I think it was the 17, chapter 17 one we would have kept reading. He circumcised himself and all of his family as a sign of the covenant between him and God. He was going to sacrifice his son in the last passage that we read. He obeyed God. That's what he did. That's how we respond to God when he blesses us. We respond by obedience. And then if we get to the end of that and you say, okay, so God comes and he blesses and we obey him and why? What's the purpose of this blessing? Why did God choose to bless Abraham and make him a great nation? And why do that? Woven throughout the story was what? I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless everyone. You're going to be a blessing. That's why God blesses us. He blesses us so that his blessing, the blessing of knowing him, would flow through the people he's blessing with a relationship with himself. You're going to be a blessing to all the families of the world. Israel, God's people, the people who came out of Abraham, what were they called by God? They were to be a light to the nations. They were to show people what it looked like to be in a relationship with God and call people to be in a relationship with God. They were to be a source of God's blessing for everyone. God said, I'm going to bless everyone through you. So God comes, he blesses with himself, and that is for other people. That's what a blessing is. That's what it looks like to be blessed by God. He blesses us. He blesses us so that we can bless others. But if Abraham was to be the source of God's blessing for everyone, well, we'll see. He was, but he wasn't the perfect source of blessing. Like every person that we've seen in this series through the Old Testament, as we've looked at some of the great heroes, he was flawed. And Abraham was very flawed. He one of his flaws, and the only reason I'm mentioning this story is because the biblical narrative devotes quite a chunk of time in the story of Abraham to this thing that happened. Actually, it happened twice. He kind of prostituted his wife, not technically, not exactly, but really, really close to doing that. So they're traveling through the land, and they're coming into Egypt, and Abraham says, you're beautiful. And obviously, as the story unfolds, we'll realize this wasn't just like he didn't have husband goggles on. She actually was gorgeous. And he said, they're going to kill me and take you because of you. So just tell everybody you're my sister. And then they'll treat me well, and they won't kill me, and it'll go well with me. It says, it'll go well with me, so I'll benefit from this. And that's what they did. Go into the land. I'm his sister. Everyone's talking about her. They talk to the king, to Pharaoh, about her. And Pharaoh says, she's that beautiful, and she was. And so he takes her to be one of his wives, one of his women. And gives Abraham a whole bunch of animals, and that's money in their time. So he paid him a lot to take his wife, thinking it was his sister, and sending God sends, this is actually the first time God sends plagues to Pharaoh, a different Pharaoh, but he sends great plagues to Pharaoh's whole household. And then he tells him, give back that woman. She's his wife, not his sister, and I'm paraphrasing here. And so then Pharaoh chews out Abraham, paraphrasing, that word does not show up in the Bible, chews out Abraham, gives him back his wife, and sends him away with all of his stuff. So everything that he got for giving his wife to the king, he took with him. That's not a good person. That would disqualify most of us from ministry, right? You don't do that to your wife. And they didn't just do it once. It wasn't an accident. Oops, I kind of, one time, did it again. Almost the exact same thing much later on in the story. not a perfect fountain of blessing. I'm sure his wife didn't feel that he was a perfect fountain of blessing all of the time as she went through those stories. But later, there would come one who would be the perfect source of blessing, and he actually would be the one through whom God was going to fulfill his promise of blessing the whole world through Abraham. It's Christ. Through Abraham came Jesus Christ, and through Christ, God does, in fact, bless the whole world. Flip over to the book of Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Start in verse 6. Follow along with this. This is really cool. Just as Abraham, we're jumping in the middle of it, but just go with it. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's everyone who's not actually descended from Abraham, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, so the gospel's preached to Abraham by God. It was when he said, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So God was saying to Abraham, it's going to be through Jesus who will come through you that I'm going to bless everybody. Look at verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And look at this. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Again, Gentiles, that's everyone who's not a Jew, who's not descended from Abraham. That's all the nations and all the families of the world. It's everybody else. So the blessings of Abraham would come to everybody else so that we might be received the promised Spirit through faith. And then look down at, is it verse 28? No, 29. Where are we ending? 26. Look at verse 26. For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. That's what the blessing, that's how God was going to bless all the nations of the world through Abraham, because one was going to come through him, through his descendants, Jesus Christ, who would come and he would bless. We would receive the Holy Spirit. Look, anyone in verse 14, anyone who is in Christ would receive the Holy Spirit, would be in a relationship with God, would be God's child. Look at verse 26 again. In Christ, you are sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see what he's saying? If through Jesus, anyone who is in Christ receives the blessing of Abraham. God, through Christ, is blessing the entire world. And all families of the world can come to know God. Why? Because through Abraham, God sent Jesus. And Jesus is the true source of blessing. He's the fulfillment of the blessing that was promised to Abraham. He's the one who came through Abraham. And through him, God blesses everyone. And the same idea that we saw in the story of Abraham's blessing, we see in Christ's story. God comes, he blesses, and it's for other people. In Christ, God came, literally, the God who blesses came in person, and he came, and through Christ, God blesses anyone who comes into Christ, who repents and is baptized and becomes a child of God. God blesses through Jesus that person with a relationship with himself, the same kind of relationship that Abraham had with himself. God then says, I'm your God, I'm your father, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. And even better than the way Abraham obeyed God, Christ obeyed God. He lived a perfect life. Abraham left his father and his family, and he went out for an unknown path on a land in obedience to God. Jesus left the side of his father's side, and he went down the path to the cross. And the blessing that he brought, that Jesus brought, is for everyone. It's for everyone who would turn to him. And that's why he is a better source of blessing, even better than Abraham, because in him, in Jesus, God is blessing the whole world. It's the fulfillment of what God said he would do through Abraham. In Jesus, God is choosing and has chosen and chooses his true people, his family. In him, God makes a permanent, eternal covenant with those who are his children. He makes us his children, and then he brings us into a covenant relationship with himself. And through Jesus, God gives salvation to everyone who turns to him, who accepts him as their Savior and their Lord. Like Mike said in the time around the table, by repenting and being baptized, he's an even better blessing that we receive through Christ than what was given through Abraham. There's a better covenant and a better family than God gave to Abraham in Christ. We receive the fulfillment of the blessing in Abraham. So what does that have to do with us? What should we do because of that? Let's read one more passage. Flip over a couple pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to see here, as it's going to say to us what God said to Abraham. If you're blessed by knowing me, you're to be a blessing to other people. So let's read verse 11 through the end. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the blessing. That's the blessing that God gave, promised a long time ago, that he would give through Abraham to the whole world. You can know God. You can be his child. You can be connected to him. He said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You've received that blessing. You've entered into it. So what should we do? We should enter into the blessing. We should receive the blessing. We should repent and be baptized and give ourselves to Jesus. And in the same way that Abraham obeyed God as God came to him to bless him, we should obey God and repent and be baptized and give ourselves to him and make the decision and receive the blessing. Because how can we say God bless you when we haven't received the blessing of becoming God's child? So if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And then look at how it continues. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that? Look at verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. See, now it's not just one nation. In Christ, it's all nations, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the rebellion. And entrusting to us, anyone who's in Christ, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God makes his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For his sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness, or the perfection of God. We receive the blessing of Abraham when we enter into Christ. And then God says, now be a source of that blessing. Just like he told Abraham, you're going to be a source of blessing to everyone. God tells us, now you be a source of that blessing to everyone around you. You be my representative. You be my ambassador. Represent me. Plead with people to enter into Christ. Persuade people to enter into the blessing that you've received. The blessing that you've received, that I've received in Christ, isn't just for us. It's supposed to flow through us to the people that God's put around us. We're supposed to be sources of that blessing, fountains of that blessing to the people who are around us. So the question for us today is, where are you? Where are you in that path of God's blessing? Have you entered into the blessing? Are you God's child? Have you repented and been baptized? And have you received the blessing? Because as much as you could pray and say, God, please bless me, it's as if he would say, I will. I want to. It's there. I sent my son, and you can become my child, and you can receive my blessing. My blessing can be poured out on you. Turn to me, repent, and be baptized, and enter into me. Stop. You don't have to be outside of the blessing. You don't have to ask to be blessed. You can be blessed in an instant. You can become God's child. And in this community, if you're not a Christian, you could tell someone. You could say, I'm ready. I want to repent. I want to be baptized. And you can make that decision. Maybe for you've already made that decision, and so you're blessed. So you consider to say, I'm in the blessing. I've been blessed. When someone tells me, God bless you, you can say, I know, because I've been blessed. I'm being blessed. And so for you and I, the application is different. It's be a source of that blessing to someone else. Well, why do we always talk here about pouring into other people and studying with someone and sitting down every week and having a Bible study with someone? And if you live with people, trying to read the Bible with them and study with them, and it's so that we can be a source of blessing to other people. Because if you're in a relationship with God, if God knows you by name, if you're his child, isn't that something that should flow through you to other people? Isn't that something you should pass on to other people? So what can you do so that the blessing that you've received of being in peace with God, if you're a Christian, can flow through you to another person? How can you help someone else come to know God as you've come to know him and be blessed by him? That's the application question for you and I. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. Thank you, God, because you are a God who comes to us and you offer to bless us. And then you want that blessing to be for other people. And the same spirit that lives in your children, that ties us to you, that helps us know you, it's the same spirit that empowers us to speak boldly to the people we know, to the people we love, about you. Same spirit who gives us words as we're studying with people. So God, I pray that you would help us to be a community of people who bask in your blessing, who know that we are loved by not just our Creator, our Father, or your children. And that we would be a community of people who would take that blessing and every day of every week would try to pass that on to someone else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.